Clayton Yates, Woody Page, Emily Kaplan, June Lee on Hudonis's night, on the Sixers hiccup, on Aguiar's sneak peek, and a preview extravaganza for the WNBA season. Yeah. Oh, yeah, let's go. This way. The Wilbon Shuffle, people. Oh, we got to talk about Mike Wilbon going into the Hall of Fame. Oh, man. We'll get to that in a second, but not now. This was an all-time line from Udonis Haslam last night. Season debut, 3 minutes, ejected, fight with Dwight Howard. He said it was fun for just to go out there and play the game, show he can continue to play at a high level and help his team win. Did he play at a high level? He also said, it's a great memory. If this is the last one, I finished it the only way Udonis Haslam could, with an ejection. That is just great. Points for everybody for Haslam. For the game, how the Heat roll the Sixers, what that means going into the last weekend and the playoffs for both teams. Woody Page, I want you coming in here swinging like Haslam, getting into a fight in the first 3 minutes as well. And you look like a pit boss from Vegas. I love the look. Was this more about the Heat or the Sixers last night?
It was about the 76ers. I mean, you don't come out when you have a chance to be the number one seed and play like that, like you didn't even want to show up at the arena. And your two best players each have a triple single. They combined for 14 points. What are you talking about? Is that the way you're going to play against the Heat, the team you're probably going to play in the second round? You got to remember that in the first two meetings between these clubs that Butler and Bam didn't play, and Airbnb is back. And what do you got from the 76ers, who were playing great at home earlier in the year? Other than the fact that this was a road game, they haven't been playing well at home at all. This is a team in the throes of a problem, I think, going into the playoffs. Mm-hmm.
Is that how you see it, Clinton Yates?
No, I learned a lot more about the Miami Heat last night. Their identity is real, and they will bust you in the mouth and laugh about it on the sidelines. I mean, we thought that this might be a little bit of a fluke in terms of how they made that run last year in the bubble to the finals, but it don't matter anymore. They're there. And if you see them in the playoffs, that's not going to be great in terms of your physical health, and you might lose the basketball season series as well. So for Udonis to come in that game and just show that level of authority, I mean, Dwight Howard lost the psychological battle for the rest of the game after that. It was pretty incredible. You know how the Heat are going to beat you, and you also know how they might beat you up, which is how they're going to advance in the NBA playoffs.
June Lee, more about the Heat or the Sixers last night?
I'm not really that worried about the Sixers. Last night was the first time when they had their full starting lineup that they lost by double digits this season. And so,
okay.
More about the Miami Heat for me. This is, I think, about the fact that they looked like the tough team that they were in the bubble last year, the fact that Jimmy Butler, Bam Adebayo are together back again. And I think Udonis Haslam's ejection last night kind of sums up the mental strength and the character of this team, the fact that he is the only player in the last 20 years to play one game and get ejected. I feel like that kind of just sums up the essence of the Miami Heat.
And Emily Kaplan.
First, I've got a bone to pick with you, Tony, because you were laughing about Udonis and saying that he wasn't playing at a high level. His per 36 minutes, 48 points, 12 rebounds, 100% field goal percentage.
Yeah, that's
a
very per 36 was great, yeah.
I do think that he embodied, though, exactly how the Heat are right now, and they're not scared of the 76ers. They're not scared of anyone, and people should be scared of them. Defensively, very good team. Limited them to under 100 points. That's the 22nd time they've done this year. And you guys have all mentioned Bam Adebayo. He has been such a big difference maker for them. 2021 All-Stars, going up against him as the closest defender. They're shooting 37.6%. That's quite bad for them and good for him.
Wow, that's a good stat there from Kaplan. Woody, while you were hearing June Lee say that this is the first time the Sixers lost by double digits with their starting lineup fully intact, you were laughing because you were thinking, well, they lost. That's a big deal. Go ahead.
Yes. Oh, double digits. Oh, wow. Well, that's really something. But you got to consider that they are going to see this team again. And you've got to be prepared for more double-digit losses.
Right, but the point June's making is they're coasting into the postseason a little bit, taking the foot off the gas just a little bit.
But he wasn't worried.
Mm-hmm. But they haven't clinched the one seed yet. Nobody's clinched anything. Going into the last week of the season, have you guys seen this? It's just the Celtics who are locked into the seventh seed right now. Everything else is wide open over the next 72 hours. That's awesome. We'll move on. WNBA season preview extravaganza. 2 hours to tip off. Let's go. Let's get it. Who is the favorite this year? What's the number one storyline? How are so many good players and draft picks not able to make rosters this week? What does 25 years mean? For that part of the conversation, look, our family, Kate Fagan, in the Sports Illustrated cover story this week on how an inflection point is being reached from the league, from subsisting to thriving. And also, look, our colleague, Chinea Agwemeke, in her incredible and deep documentary, 144, with the footage from last year showing a side of sports and league and athletes you never see, the forming of a movement. Emily Kaplan, first to you. What's the number one storyline going into the season?
The number one storyline is just the league-wide talent. You mentioned the NBA being wide open. I see the same thing in the WNBA. Mm-hmm. I mean, look at the Phoenix Mercury. They have the sixth best title odds, but their roster scares the hell out of me. Diana Taurasi still rocking in her 17th season. Skylar Diggins-Smith, who now has a full offseason in the program. Kian Nurse now hopefully healthy. And Brittany Griner coming back from a mental health break that she's been incredibly candid about. I wouldn't want to face them, and they could be a legitimate candidate, but they only have the sixth best odds.
So you say wide open league, number one storyline. Jun Lee, how about you?
For me, it's Sabrina Ionescu, the fact that she's coming back and basically getting a redo of her rookie season after she missed all of last year after getting an ankle injury in her third game. The New York Liberty moving into Barclays Center, so it's kind of this grand opening, and she's kind of the face of the franchise. They had a huge offseason where they really built around her skill set. And this is someone who is one of the most hyped WNBA prospects that we've seen in a long time, and someone who's mentored by Kobe Bryant, Steph Curry. This is a potentially generational talent that we're starting to see, hopefully, you know, play a full season this year.
Jun Lee, third career show, not afraid to be a homer in New York spot. There you go. Clinton Yates, number one storyline for the season.
For me, it's the fact that there's a confluence of the WNBA being ready for their close-up and the fans, media, and the rest of the country being desirable, wanting to look at it as well. I remember covering Mystics games 5 years ago. The only people in the crowd were camp kids who didn't really understand what was going on. They were just having a good time. 2 years ago, when I'm watching the Sticks win the WNBA title on the wood in D.C., this place was the place to be. You got pro players from other leagues showing up to this. Their advancement of what this league is from a legitimacy standpoint is fantastic. It kind of got altered last year because things moved into the wobble. Chiney's movie is fantastic. It tells you about that. But to me, the WNBA is supremely arrived right now. And I don't know that I can have said that years past in terms of what this league is and what they've been overall in the sports landscape in America.
Woody Page, number one storyline.
The quarter century, being 25 years around, when a lot of people didn't think this league would survive because two other women's basketball leagues did not make it, certainly this far, it just barely lasted for a while. I remember when the league first started and me taking my daughter and seeing a lot of fathers who were taking their daughters, maybe Emily's father did, and that seemed to be the crowd at the time. They've got to be able to grow on what happened last year. Merchandise is up. Social media is up. Fans are down a bit, but that's because of what happened with the bubble. And obviously the TV ratings are up. More people are interested. They got more eyes on the league than they've ever had before. They need to grow that. When you have a draft where 12 out of 36 players can't even make rosters, that says a lot about the quality of talent in the league and that they may actually want to expand two more teams where they can use all of this talent.
That's the point, Woody Page. I was wondering about that. That's a sign of a healthy league? Or that, I mean, that's a third of the drafts not making a roster. It kind of blows your mind when you think about it that way. Emily, you want to address that?
I just want to say, you know, research tells us that women's leagues can be successful when they're attached to pre-existing men's leagues, startup women's leagues, that is. And the NBA put infrastructure in the WNBA that we had never seen before. But women's sports also takes patience because they're inherently an investment. And it took so long for the media and sponsors to catch up get to where we are now. So, yeah, anyone who says the bottom line matters, they're not bringing in money, the point I'd make to that is, well, women's sports has something that men's sports doesn't have, which is immeasurable room for growth.
June, did you want to add something on the media there?
Yeah, I mean, I've noticed over the last couple of years, just being in newsrooms, the diversification from a gender perspective and the fact that there's kind of this grassroots effort, I think, that's happening in sports media to cover the WNBA in a legitimate, serious way. And I think that's playing a huge role because it's a chicken or the egg situation. If you're not getting the media coverage, how can you get fans as invested in the league if you're not having kind of the in-depth coverage that you get for every other sport?
See, that's something I take to heart, too, this very show. I mean, were we doing this 5 or 10 years ago? It was almost, and that's falls on us. It was almost like the game, the field, the court in this case, was angled in a certain way to not have success. I want to get you, Clinton Yates, on a storyline that's going to be on the court this year, the number one storyline in your mind.
It's amazing to me how, and speaking of newsrooms, I went downstairs before this show to ask the guys who cover the NBA and other basketball leagues who they think the best player in the WNBA is. We were arguing for 15 minutes because there's all sorts of choices about who is at the top. And that, to me, is ultimately a great thing for this league overall. I wonder, who do you think the best player is? It's a legitimate argument.
Dude, Liz, really answer Clinton's question.
Breonna Stewart coming off the Achilles injury, first full healthy season.
Emily Kaplan.
I jumped the gun, but it's Asia Wilson.
Woody Page.
It's Wilson.
Clinton, you want to answer your own question?
I still think Liz Cambage is the most dominant player in the league and the one I will pay cash money to show up.
Well, I thought it was going to be unanimous Breonna Stewart. I mean, what more does she have to do? She had the greatest comeback ever from Achilles last year. I saw the ESPN Top 25 list. Who's going to be the one to tell Diana Taurasi she was sixth on that list? That's the nice thing about with the greatest player. All right, let's make our pick right now for the finals or for the champion. June Lee, first to you.
Seattle Storm.
Emily Kaplan.
I'll take some pressure off June. I'll pick the Chicago Sky and Candace Parker.
Homer pick from you. All right, and how about you, Woody Page?
I got aces up my sleeve, Tony.
Okay, and how about you, Mr. Clinton Yates?
Las Vegas, go talented team in the league.
Okay, yeah. Fire still back.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guarantee Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Atlanta baseball fans, look away here. Ronald Acuña Jr. going down hard after running hard through first base. The good news is x-rays negative. He's day-to-day. Injuries in or around first base happening this year, weirdly with frequency. Byron Buxton, Luis Robert. Robert's going to miss months more with a hip tear. Clinton, fluke? Or does baseball need to consider making the bases somehow safer?
I think the latter. The way that bases are constructed and designed is half the issue themselves. I would add a safety base, but bases don't need to be as hard as they are, in my opinion. They don't need to be rounded at the top. That doesn't add in anything in terms of the game, from tag plays to whether or not you're sliding it or using your hands. Redo it. You can make new bases. It's possible. It's 2021. Come on.
Woody Page?
Yeah, I always wondered at first, second, and third, you might as well put bags of concrete. I mean, every game that I watch, and I watch so many of them, I see somebody getting hurt trying to cross the bag, either the pitcher or the hitter or the first baseman. Why not just make them flat like home plate? And you don't have to have the problems that you're having now. That's safety.
All right, so I mean, so you say flat. Clinton Yates, are you talking about one of those bags you see in lower little league that's soft and you can step on? Is that what you're talking about?
I mean, or something that we just don't know. Let's get our smartest minds on this, Tony. As the president of base running Twitter, I care a lot about what the baseball.
Emily Kaplan, is this just fluky, or does baseball need to look at safety here?
Baseball's been using the same bases since 1939. Don't you think we've made some advances in sports science since then? Basketball adjusted their rims in the 70s when dunking became more popular to prevent wrist injuries. I'd like to see baseball adapt.
And June Lee.
I'm all for bringing like the bright orange neon base from Little League into Major League Baseball. I think the only one thing that I think can be a detriment to bringing in a safety base is Doug Glanville mentioned this on a call that we had once, where for right-handed hitters, it takes them longer to get to a safety base because of running out of that batter's box. But overall, you know, I want to bring in those like comfy pillow style bases.
All right, so the comfy pillow style bases would prevent somebody from stepping on it hard and turning an ankle or hip or something like that. But I never even thought of that, June, that the safety base, which you've seen maybe in other play in softball or Little League, 3 feet to the right of the base is longer for a right-handed batter. Never had thought of that. We'll move on. Buy or sell two. Woody, your Avalanche President's Trophy and the one seed. Historically, President's Trophy winners win the Stanley Cup 23% of the time, and they get knocked out in the first round 17% of the time. What to buy, what to sell, Drew?
I'm buying that the Avalanche are not worried about that at all. The last time they won the President's Trophy, they won the Stanley Cup Championship. So they're on a roll in regard to the President's Cup. They got speed. They got depth. They've got goaltending, a guy that the Washington team got rid of, and he is doing the job. He's only one of Grubauer's only one of two players that are under 1.9 in goals allowed this year. Mm-hmm.
Emily Kaplan, did anything Woody Page said just make sense?
Kinda, but what I would buy is that this is
the there you go, Woody, for making sense.
And typically, the President's Trophy winner wouldn't have to go against the person that finished runner-up to the Vegas Golden Knights to even get to the semifinals. But what is not being said about the Colorado Avalanche? 4 years ago, worst team in the league, 48 points, lose the draft lottery. Now they're a juggernaut.
June Lee, what does it mean?
I say this as the most casual of hockey fans, but I kind of sell the notion that the seeding matters that much in hockey because we see so many playoff updates on upsets on a year-to-year basis. I mean, if you look at Clinton Yates' Washington Capitals, they have won the President's Trophy plenty of times.
Oh, boy, there he goes. Lee's going at Yates. Take it, Yates. You're familiar with this President's Trophy.
That's fine by me. I want to give a quick shout-out to Nate McKinnon, powering me to fifth in the Around the Horn PTI NHL Fantasy League, so we like that.
Fifth.
Secondarily, though, I'm very pumped about the Vegas versus Colorado matchup. Like, this is a good thing. I'm actually tuning in because I want to see two specific teams play.
Okay. All right, you actually tuning in is not going to get you points on the show, Clinton Yates. And neither is fifth. Are you going to hang up a banner for finishing fifth in the ATH PTI Fantasy Hockey League? Oh, my goodness.
I'm not even in it.
Yeah, well, we didn't want to ring her. Go ahead, buy or sell three. Preakness tomorrow. Bob Baffert will not be there. Doesn't want to distract. Medina Spirit will run, has passed a drug test this week. June, would it be better for horse racing if Medina Spirit won tomorrow? Or would that continue this distraction or conspiracy or whatever you want to call it?
I buy that it's good for the sport in the short term because this is the first horse racing story that I've cared about in a long time. But I sell that it's good for the sport in the long term because in the steroid era with Barry Bonds, it kind of tainted the home run record. So with all this stuff,
Glenn Yates?
Yeah, I mean, the sport of kings is also kind of the sport of olds. Like, look, I mean, people would rather meme things with Will Ferrell than they care about the sort of competitive, advantages that one horse gets versus another. Look, this is great. If somebody wins a Triple Crown, I'll probably call my dad, but that's about it.
Not sure I'm getting an answer here. Medina Spirit, Woody Page, if it were to win the race, would that be a good thing to get past everything that happened the last 3 weeks, or would that be more attention on it?
Yeah, it's a bad thing, and Clint, going back to you, I resemble that remark about old people calling him dad. But it makes no sense if he has a chance to win the Triple Crown. You've got to put asterisks all around that. The trainer can't even show up at the track because of the cheating that's gone on with that
cap.
No.
It's bad, and this is an issue with a decentralized sport. There's no horse racing commissioner. There's no horses players association. So these things have to be figured out in side deals and lawyers. And if the sport's fine operating that way, it's great, but scandals are still going to happen.
Clinton Yates, June Lee. The weekend starts right now, gentlemen. You can go. I mean, there might be a Baseball Tonight Live episode in our commercial break. Behind the
Tune in Sunday, kiddos. Right. It's going to be a fun one.
All right, Paige Kaplan showdown in 2 minutes. Yeah.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and The Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Check this out. Miami first baseman Jesus Aguilar trying to sneak a peek at Diamondbacks catcher Carson Kelly's wristband with the pitches on it. Look at Kelly's face. Earlier this year, Aguilar tried to steal Dominic Smith's outfield notes out of his back pocket. Woody Page, sneaky good or sneaky bad?
This is sneaky bad. I'm with Kelly there. It reminds me when I was in eighth grade and Tom next to me leaning over looking at my answers all the time. Get it on your own, not stealing from somebody.
Tom. Go ahead, Emily.
This is sneaky amazing. Baseball has seen so many cheating scandals, but this is the old school way. And Woody, I was the person looking at Greg Jamulkowski's shoulder for freshman year bio, and that's how
See,
I was.
See, thank you for admitting that, because we know, Woody, you were Tom all along. All right, we'll move on. The debut of Jared Kelnick, Mariners super prospect, first at bat, first pitch, and Josh Naylor robbed him with an amazing catch. If you're Kelnick, Emily, is this an all right outcome for your first at bat, or do you feel robbed?
You know, as much as I like to think that the life we live is like around the horn, you don't get a win the first show, just like Tony gives you. So I think this was fair.
Woody?
No, of course you feel robbed. I have worked so hard to get here, and somebody, once again, it involves thieving. And this guy has just stolen me away from having a chance to continue and get a hit. No.
All right, Woody Page. I still don't understand your first answer. If there was anybody in the world who I thought on this panel would be in favor of what Aguilar was doing, it would be you. Emily Kaplan, 30 seconds of FaceTime.
The Stanley Cup playoffs, they begin tomorrow. And where do I begin with storylines? It's Zdeno Chara going up against the team he captained for 14 years, the Battle of Florida for the first time. Or how about this? The Toronto Maple Leafs, who haven't won since 1967, the most tortured fan base in sports. Imagine the irony if they finally break through and their fans are not there with them. I'm not giving you all of this to say, please like my sport. I think anyone who's witnessed the Stanley Cup playoffs could appreciate the intensity, the grind, the magic of it. But it's going to be a great one. With all the sacrifices people have made this year, whoever hoists the Stanley Cup in July, it'll be richly deserved.
Well done, Emily Kaplan. All right, and now we have time for some love here. People I love. Mike Breen, the voice of ESPN, the voice of the Knicks, the voice of the NBA, going into the Basketball Hall of Fame. Bang! I owe my dream to Mike Breen when he was at Fordham and then at the Knicks, I followed him. But Mike Wilbon, I owe my career to Mike Wilbon. I love you, Mike. Going into the Basketball Hall of Fame, you have lifted so many in this industry, just like you lifted this purse. Bang!